Well, very warm welcome to you. It's a privilege to be here and to open God's Word again with you this evening. Big question that many, obviously, probably everybody has at various times in their lives. What's it all about? What are we here for? What is God doing? Even believers have that question. Sometimes we get our heads in a mess, and we just don't see exactly what's happening about us. We don't see how God is working out His purposes. We don't see God the way we would like to see Him. We don't understand how I should be before the Lord, just as we ought to see. There's a mist over our eyes, more so to the unconverted, who think that they live for this life, who think they're here for themselves, who think they're here for their families, they think they're here for whatever the purpose may be, it's to promote self and mind, and for to be all it can be. When we come to the scriptures, we learn the purposes of life. When we come to God, He directs us. He is a faithful creator. He shows us a way to live. He shows us where to live. He shows us how to live. I want to look tonight at a couple of portions of scripture which speaks about security, which speak about an abiding place, which speak about that which will be everlasting, to give us confidence and encouragement in our lives. First, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. We'll look at a couple of scriptures just at the beginning here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And it says there, speaking about, well, I'll read from verse 2, speaking of Israel and the Old Testament and all the wilderness wanderings, it says, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Speaking about them going through the Red Sea and God's presence in the cloud there and in the sea. And they'd all eat the same spiritual meat and they'd all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, or which was with them. And that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. Let's go over to Exodus 17, verse 6. Exodus 17, verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. They'd been complaining about water for their physical survival, and physical water came out of a physical rock. But God in the New Testament, by the pen of Paul, tells us by God's Spirit that He was teaching that the real rock, which that was a picture of, the real rock, that which was abiding, that which they may rest upon, that which would give them drink, spiritual drink, and which they would benefit forever through faith in Him. That real rock was Christ. And He followed them. He was with them. Over to Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. Actually, I'll read back just a wee tiny bit here. Exodus 33 and verse 13, and Moses speaking to the Lord. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation, Israel, is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Paul says, that rock which followed them, which was with them, his presence, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here, that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? so shall we be separated, I and my people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. God leading his people through the wilderness. They come from bondage in Egypt. They were going to a promised land, Canaan, which would become the land of Israel. And on the way there, they needed sustained. On the way there, they needed reminders of the one who was with them. On the way there, they needed to know God's purpose and how they were to respond and reaction to the revealed purposes of God. And Moses goes and he asks the questions which many of us ask, which we should ask. And he wants to know about God. He wants to know God's way. What is God doing? God is building a kingdom. God is building an everlasting kingdom. God is building that kingdom upon a rock which shall not be moved. And you see that depicted here in this personal thing that he does with Moses. Sets him upon a rock, puts him in a cleft of a rock, covers him with his hand, reveals to him his glory, speaks to him and declares to him his ways, reveals his own nature to Moses. God is building an everlasting kingdom, and he's founding it upon Jesus Christ. The New Testament tells us, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we just read a few moments ago, that rock which followed them, the old rank of it, and that rock was Christ. What is God doing? Firstly, God is shutting us up to Christ. God is closing men up to Christ to build this kingdom. God would have us nowhere else, look nowhere else. When men ask questions like Moses did, what about our going in the way? What about your presence? What about showing us your glory? What about revealing yourself to us? God has one answer to man. I will shut you up to my Son. There, in him, of him, I will show you my fullness and no one else. And you see that here, it's a picture. What did Moses ask? Show me thy glory. And the Lord says this, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. A revelation. God's word I will proclaim. But what does he say? Thou canst not see my face, speaking with his eyes, of his eyes. For there shall no man see me and live. The Lord says this, behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it's a new manner upon this rock. That shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. God shuts us up to Christ. Are you seeking for the Lord, seeking for the Lord's ways? God has nothing more to say to us than what he has said in his Son. If you're unsaved here tonight, but you're drawn, you know I need to get to know this God of salvation. You know I need to be saved. I know that Jesus Christ is the one who saves, but there's so many questions I have first. Moses had questions. Show me thy glory. All these questions about how shall we go in the way? Will you watch after us? God shows him something. And direct answer to his question, show me thy glory. He places Moses on a rock. Upon a rock. What a foundation can any man lay than that which is laid?
which is Jesus Christ, who must be founded upon him.
He places him in the rock, in the cleft of the rock, and while he's in there, not being a picture of Christ, whatever way Moses was to look, he would see nothing but the darkness of a rock. God said, no man shall see my face and live. If he was to look out the way, God's hand was upon him, a glorious hand, the hand of the Creator, the hand of the Sustainer, the hand of an Almighty God who could crush his enemies and yet who keeps those who are his people. That hand was on the open side of the cleft as God passed by. Moses' question, show me thy glory. What did God say would be Moses' experience? Though he couldn't see it with his eyes, he had a limited revelation, a limited knowledge. And as he was in that cleft of the rock, surrounded by the darkness of the rock, and covered by God's hand, God said, this is the truth of the experience there. This is the reality of the one who is in Christ. Here's the reality of being placed where God places us, of abiding where God would have us abide. Though we can't see it all with our eyes, though we can't understand it all, oh my goodness, what did he say? I will make all my goodness, not some of it, not a portion of it. Yes, Moses had limited understanding, but the reality was that unlimited goodness passed by. Unlimited goodness, all my goodness, all the goodness of God Almighty, the one in whom there is no darkness at all, the one who is the light, the one who, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth in unapproachable light, light which no man can approach unto, perfect and glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, the scripture says, doing wonders, the God of all power, the God of all might. Moses' experience in a wee cleft of the rock, surrounded by darkness, the hand of God upon him. Why? Because when God brings us to trust in his Son, it's by faith, not by sight. God has sent his Son into the world to be the Saviour of the world, and it is by faith that we are saved. The God who is drawing us, if you're here tonight unconverted, if you're here seeking, it's because God has been drawing you. And you might have arguments like Moses, you might be like myself and like every believer. We complain we don't know enough, we think at times. We think, oh, if I only knew more. But our problem isn't the amount of knowledge we have, it's what we do with the knowledge that we do have. Will we obey God? Will we trust in God? Well, we take him at his word concerning his Son. And God has been drawing you here. He wants to show you a way for your life. A way which abides. A way which will cause your life to stand. A way which will cause your life to be fruitful. A way that at the end of it, you'll find a reward. Which, like that eternal life he gives, a reward that abides. An inheritance which is undefiled, as the scripture says. The scripture speaks about our inheritance as being in heaven, and it fadeth not away. All God's goodness passed before Moses. He didn't see it all. All God's goodness passed before Moses. And what he had was God's word. God would speak to Moses. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. If you go over to chapter 34, verse 5, it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Stood with him there. And he was in a rock. All the Lord's weakness would pass by. But the Lord stood with him there. Where? Upon the rock. Upon the person of Christ.
Moses stood by faith in the person of Christ. The scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that man, the Lord Jesus, whom to look upon and to see rightly is to see the Almighty God whom Moses asked to see his glory. He is the brightness of his glory, as the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 1 of his epistle. He is the brightness of his glory, and the express, the shone out express person of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God shown to man. And Moses was there in the cleft of the rock, upon the rock. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Moses was in that place which was the perfect picture, which was a perfect picture of what Christ is to us eternally. A rock to stand upon, an enclosure to guard us, made of rock. And as he stood there, the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. Do you want answers to your questions? Do you want God to answer your questions, to reveal Christ to you? God's word will never profit you perfectly and fully and in a beneficial way until you obey it and hear it in Christ. God made him to stand in a cleft of a rock. God commands all men everywhere to repent, to believe the gospel. God points men unto Christ. The law was a schoolmaster unto Christ. All the Old Testament prophets were looking forward to Christ. All the New Testament prophets and preachers, the apostles, were all declaring Christ. Paul had determined to know nothing among the Corinthians save Christ and him crucified. Christ and him crucified. Why? Because it is in Christ that men are saved. It is upon Christ men are made secure. It is in Christ that men can hear the word of God and understand the word of God. Because what God says to us from without, we hear Moses' experience, God passed by. God must maintain that there is a distinction between us and him. God must speak to us even while we are in the sun, in a manner that conveys to us that he is above and we are below. God must speak to us in a way that drives home to us our eternal need of him. Someone higher, infinitely higher. One who is above, one who is eternal, speaking to his creatures below, who are of time, who are of dust. He must convey the truth to us, that we may be founded upon truth. So Moses, even in the rock, and even in Christ, God speaks to us. And it seems like it's from without. It seems like his goodness passes by. And it does. God could be with him, there, upon the rock, and pass by, so that we're drawn away from ourselves. But what God sees from without matches perfectly the reality, though we don't feel it, though we don't experience it in our feelings at times. What God sees from without to those who are upon the rock on Christ matches perfectly our real experience there. In Christ, God has shown himself. Look what he says, the Lord God merciful. The Lord, the covenant name of God. The one who is self-sufficient. The one who needs no other to sustain himself. He is from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord God. This is this God who needs no other. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perfect fellowship. Perfect unity. Perfect company. All the fullness of joy in their union. The Lord God. And here we are, sinners, before him. Will we enter into the relationship which he depicts in Moses upon the rock, in the cleft of the rock? It is there we experience God's truth. Merciful. Merciful. One who will not deal with us, who does not desire to deal with us according to our sin. One who restrains that just punishment which we deserve for a time, till we hear the message of Christ crucified until we obey and come to rest our lives upon the rock, Christ Jesus, in the rock, surrounded by his nature, gracious, one who gives to us favour. On the one hand, he holds back that which we deserve, wrath for our sin. On the other hand, he pours out grace, favour. We love to see unmerited favour. We did nothing to deserve, but the truth is more than that. It is fully merited favour, but not by us. Moses was upon the rock. Moses was in the rock. When I rest my life upon Christ, on faith, when I come through faith into Christ as my security, the favour God shows me is merited. Is earned, not of me going into Christ, not of me resting my life on Christ. It is merited by all the perfections of Jesus Christ, those eternal glories which were his in heaven above, which he did not sever himself from coming into the earth, but they were veiled. And when he came on the earth as a man, all his holy life, all his righteousness, all his works, all his words, all his thoughts, that is the blessed man of the scriptures, the heir of God. And when I come to rest upon him, he has merited for me the favour of God, which without him would be undeserved by me. In that position, Moses heard God proclaim to him the truth which was pictured in his place in that rock. As I'm in Christ, here is an experience, though I don't see it always, though I don't feel it always, of God's mercy, of God's grace, of God's long suffering. And it says of him that he is abundant in goodness and in truth. What is God doing? What was he doing with Israel? He was building a kingdom. What is God doing with individuals? He wants to take men and make them the members of that kingdom, founded upon Christ, secure in Christ. Men who in him shall be able to hear his revelation, shall be able to see what he shows them, though it be limited, and relate it directly to Christ, their position in him, and take what God shows them as their measure of revelation, and make that as the rule of understanding everything about him in Christ, because the scripture says, the Lord Jesus says, he who has seen me hath seen the Father. And what we experience in the Son is the true experience of the Father. That's what God is doing. He's building an everlasting kingdom. Now how do we get in there? How do we get into that kingdom? Again, I believe it's shown there in this portion, just as a picture. But the New Testament opens it up perfectly. There was a way into that rock. It was in through the cleft. In through that open part. There was an opening. And God had placed them in there. There was a provision made. God had made the provision. God caused them to stand there. How does God cause us to stand in Christ? How does God make the provision for to go into Christ? How did God lay that foundation? You know, the scripture tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. God's Son was smitten. We read that the rock was smitten earlier on in Exodus, and water poured out, gushed out, and it watered millions and millions of people. Rivers of water were pouring out of this rock, a miraculous work. How does God bring us to drink like that of Christ? For the Lord Jesus Christ said that his blood is drink indeed. His blood is drink indeed. Because the Son of God went to the cross, that one who is that abiding rock, because he was smitten, Moses smote him twice, smote the rock twice, the physical rock twice. And never mind at the minute the manner in which Moses smote it. But when Christ died, men's hands had crucified the Son of God. But God's hand had smitten his Son. God himself sent him. All the way from the beginning, God was speaking through types and prophecies, picture and verbal, telling us that the Redeemer was coming. While he hung upon the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God incarnate, the fullness of Godhead bodily. Why was he dying? "Father, forgive them of what? Their sins, our sins." God laid upon his Son the sins of the world. All the sins of the world were laid on Jesus Christ. And he was smitten on our behalf. The sinless one. And when he had died on the cross, the Sabbath drew near, and it was time for the leaders of the people, for the crucified malefactors, as they say Christ was and he wasn't, and the other two for to come down. But Christ had already given up the ghost, and he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." He was telling the world that what he had come to do had been completed. He came to pray to God to offer up a righteous life, which he did, but also as a representative life, to stand in the place of the guilty, to bear the judgment due the guilty, and to be punished with all the punishment which I deserve. The punishment which the world deserves. And when he cried, he said, "It's finished, it's all been done." And the soldiers came, and they broke the legs of one man, so that he couldn't run away if he was to come down. And they broke the legs of the next, took him down, they were still alive. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had perfectly did what he came to do. He had the power as God to release his life, and he did. And he gave up the ghost. They break not his legs. But a soldier came with a spear. He pushed up, you remember, a man who'd been impaled five. He lifted up. He came with the spear and pierced through that holy, spotless body of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, without spot, and heartlessly pierced it through. And it went up and into his heart. And the scripture says that forthwith came there out blood and water. Without the shedding of blood, for your sins and for my sins, there is no remission. God, by that sacrifice, made a cleft in the rock, which is Christ Jesus. What do I mean by that? I don't want to push the picture too much. Through the blood. Through the blood of Jesus, God opened up a new and a living way. What does that mean? New and living. God's eternal life was always God's eternal life. No longer by types, no longer by shadows, but by that which is the fulfillment of it all. The promise which God had promised from the beginning, God brought to completion. He paid the debt that we owe. He offered up that righteous sacrifice. Your sins have been punished. My sins have been punished. Righteous blood has been shed. A perfect payment has been made. And the way was opened up. How do we enter into the good of that? God's hand hid from Moses' sight so much revelation. But you know, God spoke to him. And he spoke to him and the guard to Moses' position in the rock. And he says, "All my goodness shall pass by." God is speaking to us today. And he's commanding all men everywhere to repent, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood, to go to Christ. Through the blood, to go to God. The scripture says that when the Lord Jesus Christ had died, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That was the place where the high priest alone had the right to go each year, and not without blood. The Old Testament types. He was to go in with the blood of an animal, and was to sprinkle the mercy seat, confessing the sins of the people. But when Christ died, no more shadows and types, no more pictures of God's salvation, but Christ himself had come. The Lamb of God had been slain. The real blood had been shed. No more need of a pictorial temple. No more need of a pictorial veil.
God would build up a real and living temple in Christ, and he would make his people members of that temple, living stones. Each one of his saints would be priests, each one with the right to go into the holiest. Why? Because our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave us a perfect sacrifice. He entered into that which is the reality, which the holy place was only a picture, into heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What is God doing? He's building an everlasting kingdom. He has laid an everlasting foundation. He's provided in Christ an everlasting security, a refuge, a stronghold. And he calls us all into it. Do you have questions you want God to answer? God wants to answer you with this: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's God's answer. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in Him, hear God's revelation. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. I want to just close with a reading in Psalm 27. This is what God is calling us to. That's what was portrayed in Moses upon the rock, in the cleft of the rock. And this is to be the desire of everyone. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing. Moses had a lot of questions, but here's the heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in Christ, among those who are Christ's, all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. You see Moses on that rock, being content with what God had given him, looking around, not seeing everything he would like to see, what he has to see, but a portion, a measure. Here's where we see it. In Christ, in the house of the Lord, in the temple, the one who is the temple, the living temple, that all the days of my life I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. We only can expect answers while we're abiding in Christ. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. This is what the Lord called us to. Is your purpose like the psalmist here? Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord, not to come in and out, not to come to Christ when it suits, and to go when it suits? What's the purpose? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, desire and seeking, that I may dwell, not for a while, not for a week, not for a month, all the days of my life. Why? What's the purpose? For benefits, for answers, for to become knowledgeable, to be wise, to know it all. For this is one thing: to see the beauty of the Lord. He is beautiful. He is beautiful. He is glorious. When we look upon Him, we see one who has the power to destroy. Yet, His power is magnified when instead He saves. He is the one who has omnipresence. He's everywhere present. We'll look upon Him. One day we'll see Him and be like Him, and we'll see a man, a glorified man. The eternal God will see Him displayed in a man who has measurements, because He came as a man. He took upon Him our humanity. He went to the cross as a man. He died as a man. He rose as a man and was glorified, and is in heaven now glorified as a man. That is the Lord. Our Saviour, He is beautiful.
so meek and so lowly and so exalted and glorious? Why would you not come to one so good as that? Why would you not come to him? Will you come to him if you're outside of Christ? If you lost sight of him, and so often we lose sight of him, don't we? Well, look upon him and not be concerned about how much we know, but whom we know, and content to abide in him. He shall set us, set me upon a rock. Can we say that? Only the Lord can do these things as we yield to him, so we trust ourselves to him. We turn and sing it, just in closing. In our hymn book, 371. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Saviour to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. I think we've got time to get up and sing verses 1, 2, and 4. My Lord.
Our loving Father, thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for a perfect sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for a perfect refuge, for a perfect and everlasting foundation, which none can destroy. Father, thank you for the promise of eternal life to all who would come and rest upon him, who would come with the intention to abide in him, to see him, to fall in love with the Lord who has loved us first, and Father, to be led, Lord Father, unto that perfect land, and Father, to your very presence. We give praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.